Hello and welcome to Procedurally Generated. I'm Henry Bell, and joining me in studio today are Tom Schreier and Max Hamilton. John Carson's out this week, but he's going to be returning for our next episode. Max, how have you been?
I've been good. I'm getting excited about Halloween, figuring some of our costumes out, and in the theme of the Halloween spirit this weekend, I'll be seeing Guillermo del Toro's new horror movie, Crimson Peak.
Ooh, excited. What's that one about?
So, basically, I'm going to IMDb the description so I don't butcher it. I've been trying to avoid spoilers as much as possible because that's how I like to go into my movies, but I'm a big fan of his. Stars Jessica Chastain. In the aftermath of a family tragedy, an aspiring author is torn between love for her childhood friend and the temptation of a mysterious outsider. Trying to escape the ghost of her past, she is swept away to a house that breathes, bleeds, and remembers.
Ooh, fancy. So
it's
kind
of a haunted house.
A medieval horror kind of thing?
Yep.
That's cool.
And then following that, I'll be going to the haunted soap factory in Minneapolis.
Okay, I don't know anything about that, but it sounds really goofy, so you're going to have to tell
me. It is ridiculous. So what it is this art gallery, and every Halloween, they turn the basement into a huge haunted house, and I think it's in its 9th or 10th year, and all the artists basically get it together, and each one gets a room or an exhibit, and all these volunteers and actors and stuff come and play parts in it. So it's a really interactive experience as a haunted house, and the whole deal this year is you're thrown into this maze, and you have to find your way out, and there's all these like creatures coming after you, and different noises and smells and music.
No, thank you.
Costs about $20-$25 a ticket. The only year I did it before, I was in college, and they strapped us into these wheelchairs and shoved us down this ramp, and then we were in a room with this guy with a pig mask and a chainsaw.
He
made us get up against the wall. He told one of the girls to start jumping up and down and squeal like a piggy, and then it was bad. You sign waivers,
stuff. Yeah, that's some like Devil's Reject stuff.
That's exactly what it was. And then we realized we were supposed to escape, and we were down there for about an hour just running through. There's like a corn maze field thing
in
under
the basement.
Yeah, they go all out.
What does the waiver say?
Super cool.
It's
I'm sure it's
here.
Like,
I mean, I don't need it verbatim, but
oh sure, yeah, I mean, I'm sure usually when you do that kind of stuff, it's along the lines of like, you can't touch any of the actors, you can't like attack anyone, you have to like, you can't sue for anything.
There's gonna be like fine print, like if there's a fatality, don't report it.
Right. Okay, I have it in front of me. It was a 2-page waiver. And basically the bold part that is important, it says, I understand that there are risks and dangers in participating in the soap factory's haunted basement, including but not limited to risk of personal injury, damage to clothing or possessions resulting from walking through a basement in darkness, uneven walking surfaces, strobe lights, strong smells, loud noises, PTSD triggers, concentrated fog, smoke, physical contact, projectile liquids, dust, dirt, allergens, peanut butter,
allergens,
latex, detergents.
I'm going to sue you guys because it's
disturbing
dusty
and adult content.
Wow.
But my favorite part is the description is... you'll separate into small groups and feed into the depths a handful at a time, where you'll be given a choice. Follow the signs to take the easier path, or be brave and take the path filled with more horror and more torment than ever before. Once a path is chosen, there's no turning back, but beware, we may decide to switch the signs at any time.
Wow, that's awesome. That sounds like a lot of fun. You know, I don't really go out for the haunted house type stuff. Like, I like to keep my horror to video games and movies mostly, but that actually sounds like a really professionally done one.
It is. It is insane.
That's awesome. Man, that's super cool. I look forward to hearing more about it next week.
If I survive.
Yes, if you're still alive. So, Tom, you done anything fun this week?
No, I wish I'd done something that I'd have to sign a waiver for and might cause PTSD or whatever, but...
I mean, come on. Every day in your life is hardcore like that, right?
Yeah, exactly. No,
tons of allergens.
as a kid, I had a lot of allergies, and I think had like an asthma attack when I was 3, so that's about as close to horror as I get.
There you go.
Yeah.
Did you sign a waiver? If not, you might be able to sue.
I just sued my parents, say, hey, what's up with this? No. Or the park. I think I was in like a public space or something like that, but yeah,
I thought you weren't allowed in those anymore.
No, I know I'm not. That was the last time. But no, I'm trying to think. I went to Rhythmic Circus, which was really cool. It's really hard to describe what it is, but
yeah, what is it?
It's a band, and they also have like tap dancing and beatboxing and like all sorts of different.
Oh,
it's like a variety show kind
of. Sure. I mean, is it all at once, or is it like?
No, in acts, yeah, and guys who are really good at it. It's my friend's cousin did it, and it was actually at St. Kate's, which is a really nice. I've never been on the campus.
That's the all girls college in St. Paul.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So cool. It's the O'Shaughnessy Theater, and just kind of did something random, just because I felt like it. I mean, I knew my friend. I don't know his cousin, but I know that kid really well, and he told me, you got to see this. I've seen it like 3 or 4 times. Definitely check it out. They are locally based, although they go all over. They tour all over. But and went to a party, and I'm happy to say at 1 o'clock when we were waiting for the pizza, I was playing Hearthstone.
That's great. I'm really glad that you're still playing it.
I'm hooked.
Inebriated. Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah, no, it's a good time. We'll talk about it afterwards. But I am fully hooked on that game, and more than anything, I just love what Blizzard does and kind of the products they have, because it's that, and I'm still playing Diablo 3 and stuff like that.
Cool. Well, speaking of games, let's bring things back a little bit and talk about news. It's actually been pretty interesting this week. We got a fair number of stories to cover. Let's get things started with a really goofy one. I love this. CD Projekt Red is the best. So The Witcher 3 has a new patch out that is sort of treating exploiters in the best possible way. Rather than doing what most of these big developers do when people are performing exploits in single-player games nowadays, they're not just releasing really quick bug fixes that like penalize anyone. They're not issuing rollbacks or anything like that. Instead, you can expect a visit from the tax collector at some point in your journey, and he will come to you and list. This is because of the exploit that allowed players to basically sell animal hides and crafting materials at like ridiculous prices, you could constantly respawn.
Yeah, basically there's a little group of cattle outside of town, so you would slaughter them all and then go a little ways away, do the rest mechanic, and then they'd respawn immediately.
Right, and so now if you've done that, there's also another one I believe that involves selling pearls, and it's a similar mechanic. And basically, now a tax man is going to come up and find you if you did any of that, and he questions you specifically on the stuff he knows you did. Now listen, this is important. If you are someone who did the exploits, he is going to tell you have to pay 200% of what you made in profits off of the exploit, which is pretty great. However, you do have the option to lie to him, give your Witcher's honor that you didn't do any of the violations of tax code, and he will give you a certificate for your honesty, which I assume is supposed to be a little backhanded guilt trip if you are going to lie your way out of having to pay the in-game costs.
I hope it's an item that sits in your inventory and you can't delete it or
right.
sell it or
I
get rid of it.
I hope it's poorly organized, too. It's just like it's before all your potions.
It's in your ingredients.
Yeah, exactly.
This is kind of what Grand Theft Auto maybe should have done. Do you remember that when they had the cheat and you could like mod up your car or whatever and get a whole bunch of money online? I feel like this is something that they should have done. It's really creative in my mind.
Certainly. Although it is worth mentioning that like since The Witcher is not an online game, I sort of understand why, like,
sure.
Grand Theft Auto, they were trying to roll back something that I don't agree with them charging real-life money for being able to buy, like, the shark cards and stuff for in-game currency.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when you do have that system in place, you can't have players doing these exploits.
Yeah, exactly.
But that is a great example of the knee-jerk reaction that a lot of these bigger companies have had. So it's really refreshing. CD Projekt Red is just the best. They're the most consumer-friendly developer I can think of. And honestly, this is just another feather in their cap. I love it. However, moving along a little bit here, we had some less consumer-friendly news from a developer. Square Enix, who are behind Dragon Quest Heroes, have just released their streaming restrictions for the new game, and they are pretty reductive. It's actually kind of crazy. So you can stream via Twitch and... however, when you're on it, you can't have any music playing. If you're going to do a stream, you have to make sure you add their logo to it until a new patch comes out. I know on PS4, it's going to make it so it automatically watermarks your footage, but I'm assuming for PC, you're still going to have to be adding it manually. And there's just a whole list of, like, you have to have, like, trademark information put up there. It's just an extremely consumer-unfriendly way to go about telling people, yes, you can promote our game for free. I'm really curious.
Well, it makes you wonder why bother streaming it if you have to go through so many hoops, play a different game.
That's what a lot of, like, the professional streamers are saying, which is a crying shame because everything I've heard is that this is a pretty cool game. I personally won't be playing it because it's a PS4 exclusive, but it's supposed to be, you know, a cool, like, mashup sort of it's a mashup, I think, of Monster Hunter and Dragon Quest.
Are they worried about getting sued or something like this? It just seems like if you have someone promoting your game, again, free advertising, very organic, I guess, advertising for your game, when you talk about trademarks and stuff like that, I wonder if it's more than just they want to get their brand on it, if they're worried about someone coming after them because music... because of music licenses or something like that?
Well, apparently a big part of it is they have a very strong sort of music lobby. It's the JASRAC, which, gosh, it's the Japanese Association of... One sec, let me see if I can look up this acronym really quick. It's they're a Japanese, like, sort of music union. And they're
okay,
basically
that's what I was kind of getting at.
Yeah, it's their lawyers in particular. Apparently, like, one of the creators sits on the board of that, or the composer sits on the board of that, and so... It's not super surprising that they're doing this, but all the same, like, these kinds of restrictions prevent people from marketing for you for free, and it's just ridiculous. It's the Japanese Society for Rights of Authors, Composers, and Publishers.
Yeah, that's a mouthful, but yeah.
Yeah, and so, I don't know. This stuff drives me mad, because a lot of these companies, specifically Japanese companies, still don't seem to understand that new media is a great, it's the best marketing tool at this point. Like, letting a YouTuber give their plain opinion of the game while they're playing it is the best endorsement you can possibly give.
Exactly.
And so for them to say, you have to be a part of our fellowship program to do it, or you have to, you know, put all the, we're going to make you do all this rigmarole, and if you miss any steps or you make any mistakes at any time, we reserve the right to pull your videos, especially when we live in a day and age where if you get 3 copy strikes on your YouTube channel, it's gone forever.
Yeah.
It's gone. And that's insane when some of these people, this is their sole source of income. Why take the risk?
Right. And it just seems like so many people benefit from it. If you created the game, again, it's free advertising. If you're YouTube, you're making money off of those people. And yeah, you have all these people who are, it's their income.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what they're thinking. I'm hoping we're going to hear some different news about this. But honestly, when you look at like companies like Nintendo with their... I can't remember. What is the name of their... They have that special Nintendo-like partnership that you can do where you have to give them like 60% of your profits or something insane.
Oh, I know
YouTube.
What you're talking about. It's drawn a blank of the name.
Ridiculous. We've seen this from a couple Japanese developers, and I really hope that they're going to kind of get the message here soon, because... This is, especially with a game as niche as this, I think it's really important for people to be able to get the word out when it's like a single-party release that really hasn't gotten a super huge amount of fanfare in the West. But, you know, what are you going to do? Hopefully they'll learn their lesson. Moving along, more questionable developer practices. We have a little bit more speculation and news on Destiny's microtransactions that they just have rolled out. We talked about this a little bit last week about how nobody should worry because it's all cosmetic and this and that, and you guys heard me being kind of skeptical about it being all cosmetic. Well, some enterprising, you know, users have dug into the game files, and they found evidence for several other DLCs that are, sorry, not DLCs, but microtransactions that are going to be potentially rolled out. Now, none of these are confirmed to be in the game, and one of them has been... confirmed to not be in it now, but these are the main four that they found. It was consumable buffs that allow you to get a higher rate of legendary drops in raids, a level booster similar to the one you get in Taken King that will jump you straight to 25, a booster that will fully unlock your subclass, like totally unlock all of the perks in a subclass, and temporary experience buffs, like from different types of enemies, meaning I'm assuming like plus 50% experience when you're killing hive enemies, that kind of thing. So this is not great. However, they did come out and say that the experience bonuses the drop bonuses in raids would not be a thing. The exact quote, I believe, was, let me just grab this here. The requirement is to do only cosmetic things, paraphrasing here. They don't want to pay for power or pay to win. That's absolutely the antithesis of what they're after. And yet we are seeing semi-questionable stuff. And here's the real concern is they had said it was only going to be cosmetic. Well, level boosters are not cosmetic.
Yeah.
I mean, I personally know enough about Destiny to say that a level booster or unlocking a subclass are not really... game-breakingly overpowered or anything like that. However, it is worth noting that if this stuff, which is non-cosmetic, was planned to be rolled out, what else are they planning to roll out down the road? I think this is really shaking some confidence. You know,
it just feels sneaky because they made it through that full first year, and you're like, wow, Activision, no microtransactions. It's a fun enough game if that's your thing. And, you know, here we are, a year later, they got all these people hooked, and now they're slowly opening the floodgates, and we have an actual microtransaction store in-game now. They say it's going to be cosmetic now. There's proof that at least it was not always the case. Yeah. And you know something more is going to be coming as soon as the anger
once this blows
subsides.
Over. Yeah. It's disappointing, however expected. I mean, I kind of saw this coming, and I, whenever I hear anything about, oh, it's only going to be cosmetic, I'm immediately skeptical. Like, it just, this kind of stuff is very, very frustrating, and I'm sure that fans that have been playing dedicatedly for a year and a quarter now are feeling a little frustrated, especially those who, I mean, because of one of my least favorite systems in Destiny, in order to, like, really get a fair shake at the same loot for your class, a lot of people will roll multiple characters of the same class so they can do the same raid multiple times in a week with the best odds of getting items. And I think a lot of those people who leveled a second identical class are going to be going, well, I wish these boosts had been around before I wasted, you know, 150 hours of my time getting another raid-equipped class.
Yeah, I think not only that, but the people who got back in are not going to be happy with spending the money. You make the investment up front. Someone like me goes, well, yeah, I don't want to get back into this game and then be at an unfair advantage where people are literally buying, you know, legendary weapons or whatever.
Now, we haven't heard anything about that yet, but I wouldn't be totally shocked if we saw some kind of weapon type things in the future. I really hope we don't. But I'm guessing that for a while they're going to try and stick to quote-unquote boosts. However, I hope that they know the difference between a boost that affects gameplay, like, severely, and a boost that's just kind of help giving casuals a hand. At the moment, this just looks like it's in favor of casuals a little
bit. Yeah, and the mode of light I'm not too worried about, because that gets you to 25, which basically gets you past the first year. So I guess that I'm not as concerned about as some of this other stuff, like the raid boost, for example.
Yeah. I mean, it's worth mentioning the mode of light one in particular that boosts your character level. That's something that exists in World of Warcraft and has for years. So, like, I mean, honestly, I don't think that many people... I don't think it's fair to say that that in particular is frustrating. It's more the idea that they hid this from the consumers.
Right.
Like, they rolled out the store with its first batch of stuff with the full intention of rolling out additional stuff that's not purely cosmetic.
Yeah, because otherwise I'd have no problem with this. If you're a dedicated player and you want more emotes, you want some of this cosmetic stuff, go ahead. And you know what? I understand that these, you know, companies, especially Destiny, I'm sure spent a lot of money on promoting it, because you see it all over with the advertising stuff like that. But once it gets to a point where you're literally buying, you know, kind of buy to win or whatever that line is, that's where I think you'll lose people, especially in a 10-year project, you know, 2 years into it. You don't want to have people kind of lose faith, I guess, in your company and microtransactions, stuff like that.
Certainly not. And also, I just have to wonder, you know, how many more microtransactions do they really have to roll out just to support the DLC? Like, how are they going to actually... I mean, I want to see their first major content patch before I'm super impressed with the new, we're not going to charge you for the additional DLC, you know, line that they're touting.
Yeah.
Yep, so we'll keep an eye on that, but just be wary whenever you hear a game introducing microtransactions. It almost always ends poorly. However, let's switch to a little more positive note. We have gotten some news. Now, there's a little early access game out there called Cube World. I think I'm the only one on the show today who's actually played it or even heard of it, for that matter. But it's basically sort of a voxel-based, sort of Minecrafty-looking third-person action RPG. It's really neat. It's open world, procedurally generated, all that. However, it's been kind of languishing out of development for over a year now. Apparently, I think the last update was in June last year. And everyone freaked out when the playable alpha came out, but this is being developed by a two-person team, so it's very, very slow, and they dropped off the face of the map, like I said, over a year ago. Well, they've just come back on Twitter and posted a bunch of updates. They've got pictures of new classes, info about a new soundtrack. I think they talked a little bit about possibly some new zones, but the big thing being, the game is still in development, and it's very likely, though the author, for obvious reasons, doesn't want to give anyone a hard date because he got so much flack with his lack of updates previously. But I'm assuming we're going to be seeing an update in the not-too-distant future here. And so if you're a fan of those kinds of third-person, open-world, RPG-type things, it's quite neat. Definitely very kid-friendly. And
what sets it apart from Minecraft?
I mean, it's, well, first of all, it's third-person. Second of all, it's an RPG. Third, it's like you have a class, you get spells, you have an action bar a la something like Diablo or World of Warcraft. you level up, you get pets. Like, it's very different from Minecraft. I just use that as a comparison because I can't really think of a super similar.
Sure, I was just looking at some images of it. It just seemed very, you know, polygonal.
It's voxels is what it is. Yeah, it's irritating. But, you know, that kind of stuff is really popular right now. And I do prefer voxels to any other Minecraft straight up clones because I don't really like the cube look. But yeah, it's interesting. It's worth checking out. We'll let you guys know if they actually release a full update. But in the meantime, it's just good news to hear back from a developer because we've seen a lot of projects that are kind of languishing. We had the news about Star Citizen recently and the accusations that they are being improper with some of the money and that they're not meeting all of their goals. And so it's nice to see that we don't have every early access that we don't hear about for a while actually dropping off the map and running with the money. Then we've also got some news. Gosh, back to the bad developer news. So Ubisoft is offering refunds after a ridiculous debacle. Like, this is just so frustrating. This is not the first time that we've seen something similar to this where they're just... Okay, so the collector's edition of Heroes of Might and Magic 7 came out last week, and just so people know across the board, it's pretty much being panned as inferior to the previous one, both graphically and mechanically, probably a pass. However, the collector's edition was supposed to ship with like an art book, a soundtrack, and physical copies of the discs. Well, no one in the U.S. got their physical copies of the discs. In fact, if you look at images of what they received, they literally received the same packaging as the other markets in the world that, like the U.K., that did get their physical copies. It's the same packaging. There's just a gap in the box where the discs should be. It's just like hollow. It's ridiculous. In all of the promotional art, they had CD, DVD, ROM listed. They had pictures of the actual discs in the promotional art, all this stuff. And then apparently later, after they'd taken a bunch of pre-orders, they really shoddily and not even properly tried to change all of their advertising to say they were digital downloads only. There's tons of documentation on this on Imgur and Reddit and stuff. And initially, Ubisoft was basically telling people, we can't give you even a refund because you've already activated your digital copy. And they're going, no, I didn't. You activated it for me. I didn't. I was supposed to get a physical copy. And Ubisoft was just saying, sorry, nothing we can do. Until the hate thread on Reddit got so out of control, they had to respond. And they basically did a complete turnaround and were like, oh, no, of course, you guys can have a refund. And on top of that, you can have one free game, like, on us. And it's just...
Sounds like Unity, right?
Yeah, all over again. How many times is Ubisoft going to give people free games?
Right, yeah.
Like,
and they're
I
offering...
I think Unity is actually one of the games they're offering.
No, they were smart. They left that out. It was Far Cry 4, Assassin's Creed Rogue, not Unity, crew toy soldiers. And zombie.
And I know there's additional ones, and that's just a list of some of them.
Okay.
So there may be additional ones. But yeah, so I guess I'm sorry. If you're still playing the Might and Magic franchise after the last couple releases, I already feel sorry for you, but now I feel doubly sorry for you because not only is this franchise getting stale, but the developers obviously don't care enough, or probably the producers don't care enough to fund making physical copies for the American audience.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, like, the disc can't cost that much, but at the same time, how many people are using physical copies anymore?
A lot of the people who buy collector's editions, anyone who lives in a rural area or doesn't have high-speed internet, anyone in parts of the country that don't
or
have access to
limits.
Good internet access. Yeah, exactly. The like hard caps for like data limits. I mean, there's tons of reasons that people want physical copies. Collections, because it is a collector's edition
for
collectors, so they probably want it for their collection.
Yeah,
a digital copy is not a collection. You don't even own the disc.
I was waiting for you to squeeze in the word collection one more time.
Sorry, I got heavy-handed with my sarcasm.
No, that makes sense. The problem with video games in general is that I think it'd just be hard to play without an internet connection, just given how many day one patches you have and stuff like that.
That's not really... I mean, I don't know if you know much about the Might and Magic series.
I guess.
They're extremely single-player. I know they have multiplayer, but most people don't even play it. They're kind of a mashup of, like... a hex-based RPG a la, I'm trying to think what you'd know, something like, XCOM.
Okay.
Mashed up with, like, a Civilization-type overworld.
Okay.
They're very cool. The older ones are good. 3 is probably lauded as the best one. Some people liked 4, but it was less popular. But 5, 6, and 7 have all been kind of debatably decent, and 7 in particular is not even as good as 6 from what I've everything that I've heard and the 10 minutes I spent playing it before I went nope. So yeah, I mean, this is just yet another ridiculous developer practice, and we just got to hope that if enough people continue to do outcries like we did with the augment your pre-order nonsense that we heard not too long ago, that we'll continue to see developers responding and realizing they cannot get away with this stuff. This consumer unfriendly stuff. Gamers are finally standing up and saying enough is enough, and hopefully they're getting the message. Let's move along to someone who totally agrees with my frustrations. This is actually kind of hilarious. I know this is a little abnormal from what we usually do, but we had a tweet from Kanye West that I really wanted to feature. Kanye said on the 10th, F any game company that puts in-app purchases on kids' games, which I could not agree with more. And he also had a couple of follow-ups. That makes no sense. We give the iPad to our child, and every 5 minutes there's a new purchase. And in a game that is made for a 2-year-old, just allow them to have fun and give their parents a break, for Christ's sake.
So he's really looking to get his child taken off his hands.
Well, to some extent. I mean, what do you call it when anybody gives, you know, a 2-year-old a tablet? But
a mistake.
That said, well, it's called.
Did you see the comments on that story, by the way?
No, but
it's so funny.
It's just ridiculous because, I mean, it's so true. But I do think it's really funny to hear that coming from Kanye, just because, I don't know, a lot of these like businessmen, music moguls, end up in positions where they charge something similar. Like, I mean, I'm sure that stuff like Tidal, for example, is a paid prescription type thing. And I know that's not his platform, but I'm saying like, similar music production type guys. I wonder if the shoe would be how he'd feel if the shoe was on the other foot and he was the one charging the microtransactions.
Sure.
But I agree entirely. I think kids' games shouldn't. I also think it's funny though that he evidently doesn't know how to like use his iDevice properly, because you can definitely, like, I have it set so that, like, most people by default, I'm pretty sure it's set, you have to enter your password for any in-app purchase, and then you have like a 5-minute grace period where you can make as many purchases as you want. On my device, I have a setting enabled where even downloading free games back-to-back, I have to enter my password every single time because I don't want to accidentally buy something.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think when this came to a head was, what was that fish game where, like, little kids were buying, like, I forget what it was, but, like, your fish could die and you bought, you know, another fish for $10 and, like, some parent ended up with, like, a $15,000 bill.
Yeah, and we hear about this kind of stuff all the time.
That's microtransactions. That's not, like, buying new games.
It is. It's ridiculous. They're predatory is what they are. It shouldn't be. I think that Apple should do a better job. They've gotten a lot better about regulating in-app purchases, in that now you have to list all of the in-app purchases on the store page. They took away the word free on the App Store. Now it's get,
yep,
because almost none of those games are content complete for free. And I don't know. I don't know if I really want to see Apple put any more restrictions on the App Store, because they do kind of rule it with a censorship-styled fist. But, you know, this kind of stuff is always frustrating. And sooner or later, everyone makes a purchase they didn't mean to on their phones. And it's very upsetting. Let's move to something more positive. Oh, goodness. We're all over the place emotionally today. I know. It's ridiculous. It's like a roller coaster. So this is positive and negative, I guess, though. So don't get too excited. Steam users have formed a new group. It's a new curator group called Scam Report. Essentially, it's there because Steam is continuing to do the worst job of curating the store. I mean, I don't know, Tom, how long have you been using Steam for, out of curiosity?
I don't know if I've ever used Steam, being a non-PC user.
Okay, interesting. Because I'm just wondering, Max, do you remember before, about a year and a half ago, when we actually had some level of curation on Steam?
Like before Greenlight?
Yeah, before Greenlight and Early Access.
Yeah.
Because nowadays, Steam is a dumping ground. It's ridiculous.
Oh, it is. It's like the Xbox 360's user-created content stuff that you could...
so bad. Yeah. I mean, it's almost worse than that, I feel like, because there are blatant scams. There's lying descriptions.
Right.
I mean, it's insane. And so, basically, this group has taken upon themselves to do what Valve is too lazy or too incapable to do, which is make a list of games that are lying in their descriptions, that are early access games that have been abandoned, that are like if a developer is paying for user reviews by giving out free games or free in-game content, We've seen all of this across the board in a lot of games, and they have a ton of stuff there. A really good example would be Journey of the Light, where they say, the game claims 7 incredibly hard chapters. Someone searched the code / files to reveal that only one level exists. Steam now offers unconditional refunds. And I think it's really important to have these kinds of groups because, like I said, Steam is not doing the due diligence. And let's remember that a lot of the users on Steam, especially for some of the cheaper and especially for the early access stuff, they're kids. I mean, almost everyone I know who plays mostly early access games is under the age of 16. And that's the kind of people who are being scammed here. I think back to stuff like Guys of the Wolf or Day One Gary's Incident. And I think if this group was around, those kinds of shady development practices would not be rewarded with those day one purchases.
Kanye needs to get on Steam.
Yes,
that's what he needs
agreed,
to do.
Agreed. Yeah. Max, do you have any thoughts on this?
I generally stick to the name brand stuff on Steam. Never really got into the green light scene. I'll pick up an odd title here and there. Some that come to mind are like Betrayer. I wasn't too familiar with that, but I try to, you know, knowing what's out there, I try to do my research before pulling the trigger on a purchase. And I feel like you're pretty similar. You're not going to drop a full sticker price on something until you know all about what you're getting.
Well, when we get to what we've played this week, I can tell you a story about regrets and early access.
Oh, man.
Because sometimes I make that mistake. I make the plunge. And
Henry makes mistakes?
Oh, no. Trust me.
Oh,
I make
man.
Plenty of mistakes. That's why I always warn you guys so fervently, because I don't want you guys to repeat my mistakes.
What was it you were warning me about earlier today? That sale? Homefront?
Gosh, yes, you were like, oh, I really got to get Homefront. I can't believe I missed this. And yeah, don't play Homefront. It's garbage. It is hot garbage. Okay, so that pretty much does it for the news. However, we do have a couple of sales/bundles that I wanted to give a shout out to. First off, let's start with the Humble Bundle for this week. The next 2 weeks. It's the Humble Capcom Bundle, and there are some really cool games in it. Right now, there's going to be more added, as always, next Tuesday. But right now, the bundle is featuring Strider, Resident Evil Revelations 2 Episode 1, Lost Planet 3, Bionic Commando Rearmed, Resident Evil Revelations, the DMC Devil May Cry, the remake, Resident Evil 5, and then if you pay, that's if you pay the average, and then the 15 or more gives you Resident Evil 5 Untold Stories DLC and also Ultra Street Fighter 4. So this is a pretty good bundle. Personally, I'd probably say unless you're a super big Street Fighter fan, you'd probably be good with just the beating the average. Just because you'll still get the additional games they're adding, and I wouldn't say that DLC for Resident Evil 5 or Street Fighter 5 alone is really worth the $7 more. It's like almost doubling the average at the moment. However, that definitely is going to vary from person to person depending on what your interests are. So that pretty much does it for the Humble Bundle. Then also, right now going on is the Steam Stealth Sale, which is a sale till October 16th, which is tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Get on
it. So you guys, if you're listening on Thursday, you can do this. If you're listening Friday after 10 a.m., you missed it. Sorry. We try not to do too much short-term stuff, but there's too many decent things on here not to just do a quick rundown and give some recommendations. So my recommendations for this list are The Ship is $2.49. It is a multiplayer sort of spy game kind of thing where you are a bunch of different players on a ship and you are given the job of killing one person. Like a lot of the times you're like famous people from history and stuff like that. And you have to use like the items in the ship to kill people, but you have to do it without being caught. And also they can kill you. It's really fun. It's really, it's a great game to just play on chat with your friends. Then Deus Ex Human Revolution Director's Cut is 80% off for $3.99. Highly recommend it.
Oh, Far Cry. So good. Double Agent. I remember that game. Had such high hopes.
Yeah, that one is on there as well. Then Far Cry 3 is $7.49. That's 75% off. You guys know Far Cry 3, I'm sure.
Really
Styx, as Max can attest, avoid like the plague.
Yeah.
Not worth it even for $10.19.
Oh, yeah, for sure not for $10.19.
Then we've also got Mark of the Ninja, fantastic game by the same guys who made the Shank series. I cannot recommend this one enough. If you like two-dimensional sort of stealth games, get it. It's no question worth it. It's $374, so how can you not? Then we also got, let's see.
I suppose if you don't have $374.
Yeah, I suppose. Then we've also got Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. In my opinion, the best, tied for best Assassin's Creed game with 2, which I highly recommend it, but it's $5, so I'll let you decide if you want to wait for it to be on a better sale. It's only 75% off. We've got Dishonored. It's $679. I've seen it cheaper, but it's worth it at that price, definitely. Thief 2. If you like Dishonored and you want to play something a little older, a little more complicated, something that inspired Dishonored, highly recommended. It's only $1.74. No excuse not to pick it up if you're even curious about it. Then we've got Skyrim on sale, 66% off for $6.49. You guys know Skyrim. If you like it, you probably already own it. If you've heard about it and you're considering it, it's worth the money.
Or you probably already own it.
Yes. So, Assassin's Creed Black Flag. I would recommend this, even though you guys
are
not a huge fan. That's the one where you get to play as the pirate and you got your ship and all that. Probably the most innovative Assassin's Creed since Brotherhood. It's $10.19 though, so I'll let you make your call. 66% off is not amazing for that.
Did you ever play Invisible Inc? I know that was a highly anticipated title for some time.
I did not. I'm actually not hugely into taking a risk on indie games.
Okay.
And so, or maybe that was by a larger producer, but on those types of games. And honestly, it looked interesting, but not quite interesting enough for my taste.
Yeah, that and Ronin are two games on this list that I'd like to do some digging on.
Interesting. Well, you'll have to, it'll be too late, but you can weigh in on what you thought of them next week. But in the meantime, I just want to finish this list up really quick. We've got Crysis 2 Maximum Edition for $7.49. Not, in my opinion, as good as Crysis 1, but not a bad game. Probably worth it for $7.50. Far Cry 2 Fortunes Edition. This is my favorite Far Cry game. I strongly recommend it, although I know it is rather contentious. Some people did not enjoy it. I think it's worth it for $2.50.
Wait, Far Cry 2?
Yeah, Far Cry 2. That is the one that takes place in Africa.
Yeah, I just remember Max and I talked about this. I didn't even know there was another part of it. That game confused
the hell out of me.
Yeah. They were the ones who first introduced that trope, which then followed to Far Cry 3, which they had the second island.
Yeah, and that one was amazing.
Yep.
That was my favorite one.
It is fantastic. I really
Were there ever any mods or fixes in Far Cry 2 with how quick the guns fell apart and how much the malaria affected you?
Probably. I never needed any or felt that it was an issue, honestly. The malaria was a little annoying, but I thought it was a really cool mechanic, really original. And as far as the guns falling apart, I mean, if you just used your own guns, they almost never fell apart.
I guess
it was only if you were picking up other people's crappy already.
And my other
guns.
Thing with that was how often enemies respawned after clearing them out. And
I really enjoyed it.
Does
but
it
it's
play?
An older game.
Does it play well going back to it?
I still play through it about once a year. Honestly, I really like stuff like the flame effects spread.
That was
wind
cool.
And
that
stuff
was
like
cool.
That. I really enjoyed it. That was one of the first sandbox games that I really
felt
played
like
as
a
sandbox. Yeah.
And then final question on Far Cry 2.
Mm-hmm.
How different was the second map from the first map?
I mean, different. It's not a different environment.
Okay.
But it is different in terms of how everything's laid out.
Okay.
It does feature the same kind of central city hub type thing, but besides that, the zones around it feel different. Although I will say, by the time you get to the second section, it does get a little... It does start to feel like it's dragging on just a little bit, but I still enjoyed it because it was the kind of sandbox that I would take all the content they'd give,
personally. Perfect.
Metal Gear Rising Revengeance is on sale, 33% off for $20. $20 is a bit pricey, but it is a good game if you like action platformers. Then we've got... We're almost done, guys. Sorry, it's a big sale. Jumping down here a little bit. We've got Beyond Good and Evil. It's a great
I like that game.
Third-person action platformer.
Somehow missed that one.
Not as combat-based. It's got a fantastic story, a fun graphic style that definitely holds up now, even because it's very cartoony. And, you know, I'd recommend it. It's $250. If you like... I'm trying to think of how I would describe it, compared to another game.
Yeah,
help me out here. What would you say it's similar to? That's actually hard to maybe Jak and Daxter or something like that.
Yeah, or maybe even like DK64. I'm trying to think
of
what.
Yeah, maybe. It is a traditional it feels like it was made at the same time as say Mario 64.
Yeah, I think
that,
that's right.
In terms of its mechanics.
You're right. The graphics do hold up. The two issues is it loads a lot and the camera's a little wonky, and I feel like something happened with the, because I got like the 360 Xbox Live Arcade version, and I feel like I'm in a spot where it's not timed right, where like I don't know how I would get out of it. Maybe I just suck at the game, but
that's I mean, it does have some kind of confusing puzzles at certain points, so that's entirely possible. But also, let's remember too, this is a Steam sale, so it's only for PC. So I didn't have any camera issues personally, but I have heard reports that there are some on PC as well.
Yeah.
Then besides that, we got the original Far Cry. Really interesting if you want to see how a series can go completely off the rails between its first and second one. It's about a guy on an island similar to the Far Cry 3, I'd say, except it is a sci-fi horror action game where there are mutated, genetically manipulated monsters running amok on an island full of scientists that are being murdered. It's very much similar to like Half-Life, except the monsters are giant like bear abomination, human fleshy gross monster things. Very descriptive, I know. Let's see. We've got a couple more to finish this up here.
Alpha Protocol.
I am not listing that because I don't recommend it. Far Cry 4 is on here. 33% off for $33.49. That's a pretty darn good price for a game that's still relatively recent.
Is it good?
Like if you liked Far Cry 3, I would say it's slightly... I would say it's slightly less fun than Far Cry 3, but has probably a slightly better story.
I think it improved upon all of Far Cry 3's mechanics very well. If I didn't play Far Cry 3, I would think it was the coolest game ever. It does seem kind of repetitive. Also,
it feels a little recycled compared to 3.
Yeah.
But you haven't played 3 in a while, right?
No, I played 3 when it first came out. Yeah.
You probably would be okay to play 4. I think you'd still enjoy it.
Yeah.
But like, it's you know what, game. Tom? It's a solid why don't you just pretend that there's only two games that exist right now, Battlefront and Fallout.
We will talk about it soon.
All right. Last recommendations on here. Three more for you guys. We got Crysis, the original. My favorite Crysis by far. 75% off for $5. Get it. It's great.
What is Crysis?
Crysis is it's a first-person shooter. You play as a super soldier wearing like this nano suit where you can you can enhance different abilities. So like you can go into strength mode and you can like punch dudes over buildings and like jump super high. And then you have like armor mode where you bullets just bounce off of you. Basically, you have I think an aim mode where you're like more accurate or something like that. That one I'm not 100% on. But then you have like speed boost mode where you can sprint at like 150 miles an hour for like 10 seconds. Like it is a really cool sandboxy first person shooter with a mediocre story but really good mechanics. And pretty darn good AI, in my opinion. It's also pretty beautiful. Even nowadays, it still looks pretty good. That was like 08 or something, 07 or 08. Then we got Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon.
Yeah.
If you haven't played it, play it.
So fun.
Enough said. It's excellent. It's $3. Just buy it. You don't need Far Cry 3 to play it. Get it. It's great. If you like 80s action movies, it's that. It's like an 80s action movie TV commercial rolled into a game. It's great. And then last but not least, Deus Ex Game of the Year Edition. It's $1.39, and it is definitely worth getting so that you can get the new mod that is getting the support from Square Enix. I highly recommend it, and it's so cheap you don't really have much of an excuse. If you're excited for the new Deus Ex game, check it out. Just remember... while the mod updates graphics, AI, and fixes a bunch of bugs and all that kind of stuff, it does not change like the base mechanics of the game. So it is still going to play kind of stiffly and like a little uninnovatively because it's a 15-year-old game.
Well,
but it will make it tolerable. I think you had a really your analogy was that it was similar to the
Rare Replay.
Yes,
and I'd say that it's back. You said it came on 2000.
The original, yes.
I'd say most of those games from Rare Replay were like late 90s.
Yeah, if not older, yeah.
And so they play well. I mean, I complained a lot about it on one podcast about the bubbles and the clanker mission with that stuff kind of bugs me, but in general like the Perfect Dark, for example, plays really well even though it's, you know, a very old game.
Sure. And I expect, since this is all based on user mods, that it's really, really well done. Like, I'm sure that they hit it spot on, because gamers know how to improve on games. They really do. I wish that they got a little bit more input, in fact. So, yeah, that pretty much wraps up for that sale. And then we got one last sale, and we'll make this quick. I'm not even going to go give recommendations on it, but the Deep Silver Weekend is... going on now. Did this just start, I'm guessing?
Yes, for the weekend sale.
So all weekend, basically, all the best stuff from Deep Silver is up to 80% off. Check it out on Steam. It's on the front page. If you can't find it right away, as I had issues with, Max showed me that if you refresh, sometimes the background ad changes. So just refresh the page till you see Deep Silver Weekend. But yeah, great games. If you like things like the Saints Row series, check it out. Okay, so that pretty much does it for news, does it for bundles. I would like to move on to what we've played this week. And I have played a lot, so I'm going to get things started with The Executive. This is IGN's free game of the month this month, and I highly recommend it. It is kind of hard to describe a genre for it. It's sort of like a quick time event game with touch brawler mechanics. Max, I know you, did you play this at all?
I did, yeah. I got the free download.
What do you think about it?
I think it's kind of the best of what you can hope to find in a mobile game all combined into one thing. There's a little bit of resource management and kind of some RPG elements and leveling up your character. All the systems are very refined and polished, and the gameplay is fun. And just some weird, unique environments and enemies. It's a cool concept.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. You play as a businessman who is basically
an executive, if you will.
Well, you don't start out as an executive. You start out as an intern, actually. But you're a businessman who is like on his coffee break, and a fat guy starts punching a vending machine and then turns into a werewolf, and it gets real supernatural and combat-y from there. It's ridiculous. It's a lot of fun, and it has some in-between mechanics sort of similar to like a clicker where you can get like passive income boosts to how much money you get for punching dudes and stuff like that. It's really fun. It's free. If you have an Apple device, I highly recommend it. It's probably one of the better fighting-ish games that I've ever played on a mobile device. And I'm playing it on my iPhone 5C. So that's the first thing I played this week. I'm going to toss it over to Max, get some variety in here.
So I would like to talk about Battlefront. I downloaded it after our last show because John had some good things to say about it. Played quite a bit. Tom, you also got back into that, right?
Yep.
So I played on Xbox. There were definitely some server load issues. Part of it was just due to my internet. I hadn't had it installed fully yet, so I was bumming off my buddy's Wi-Fi duplex other side of the house.
Sure,
didn't work out great. But I did play everything they had to offer and leveled up all the way. So single player, you can do these survival missions that John had talked about. There's no campaign to speak of. You can also play solo with just bots. That part wasn't available in the demo. Or the beta.
You could play against bots in the beta. Like they.
I'm sorry. You could play the survival mode, but you couldn't play like a regular. Like,
Sorry, that's what
I meant. So the survival mode in the beta, you could get up through the first six waves. Definitely fun. I will say the mechanics itself, the shooting feels great. I'd prefer iron sights. Obviously, that's not a thing. It looks super pretty. It sounded fantastic. Like, I found myself just loving the game and looking forward to being able to fire it up next. Walker Assault is a game mode where, I'll just briefly recap since John talked about it, but Rebels versus the Empire, and it's the Hoth battle that everybody knows, but the scale is massive. There's always stuff going on all over. It's definitely unbalanced. Very rarely do the Rebels win, and DICE said that they're going to address it. And then you had some regular deathmatch and, or not deathmatch,
no,
but
don't,
like,
actually. You have, it's capture.
King of the Hill.
It's a rotating King of the Hill where pods come down, every like 5 minutes or so.
But it was smaller 8-on-8 and, yeah, I mean, I thought the game felt and played very well and, I played some of the flight control stuff and it needs some tinkering, but I'm looking forward to it.
I could not disagree more.
Henry doesn't like Star Wars. He likes Star Trek.
Whoa, whoa. I love Star Wars.
Only kidding.
I love Star Wars. This game was not Star Wars. This game was Call of Duty with a Star Wars reskin.
It was Battlefront with a Star Wars reskin.
No, it's not. It had no classes, no Galactic Battlegrounds mode, or sorry, Galactic Conquest, no single player.
We knew from day one Galactic Conquest wasn't going to be in it.
Yeah, but these are things. You said it's not Star Wars. Star Wars has these things. It doesn't have real vehicle play, no multi-person vehicles at all.
Well, we don't know that. Yeah, we haven't seen.
They did confirm
that
is the way that vehicles are.
That there's not going to be.
Yes, but you think that it's a month away. You think they're going to add in classes and the last
one. Well, I thought there was a character creation section that
Yeah, you
was
can customize
on...
your okay, individual loadout classes. Like in Call
but
of Duty.
Regardless, that doesn't bother me. I hate classes.
Oh, my
I hate,
God. That's
I want
what
everyone
makes
to be on an
Battlefield and
equal...
Battlefront what they are.
Right, but I wish you could totally, from the ground up, just build a character with whatever weapons you want and side arms and
Well, then
equipment.
Play Call of Duty. That's not what Battlefront is. I mean, that's not what it ever was before. But then on top of that... You're insane if you think that there was anything remotely good about the vehicle controls. You were saying that they were okay.
I said they need some tinkering.
Yes, yeah, some tinkering. They're trash.
Oh, I was
mouse-controlled vehicles on PC. It's ridiculous.
I forgot
the
you
way
were
that
on
the
PC.
The way the lock-on works, the fact that you can't come to a dead stop or turn around in any way. It's awful. It is some of the plus the way you get into the vehicles is you pick up a coin power up on the ground, crouch for a second or two while you're like totally exposed, and then teleport into the vehicle. Then you teleport back out when you get killed. Like it's
right
awful. It is the worst. I was so disappointed. The Walker AT&T assault level in particular was basically unplayable. I mean, it was the spawn points are completely trash.
Yes.
Like you said, it's way unbalanced. I mean, I think you didn't even say, though, how... I mean, it's 19 out of 20 games go to the Imperials. It is not just like, oh, it's a little unfair. It's like, this is a broken map and never should have made it out of QA. It is ridiculous. I mean, not even to... And you didn't even mention how terrible the Force user upgrades are.
I never got to play a Force character.
Oh, my God. It's I did, and you don't even have to play them to see the issues. They move around ridiculously. Their animations are terrible. They're obviously a last-minute addition. Darth Vader's cape is trying to strangle him on skyhooks. They don't actually die. They take a knee, and then literally their model just is there one frame and then disappears. There's no... They don't fade away. They don't Force jump, you know, off the map or anything. They just... They're there. And then they just flash away and they're gone. It looks like garbage and is clearly an afterthought. It's not well balanced. I watched Darth Vader throw his lightsaber and take down a TIE fighter.
I saw Luke throw a Imperial into a TIE fighter.
It's just ridiculous. I mean, that's neat, but not, I can't imagine that that was intended. And it feels like this game, it feels like this beta was in lieu of QA rather than in supplement to QA. I mean, even the basic modes, I had issues with the spawn points because they will literally spawn you surrounded by enemy soldiers.
Well, I will be pre-ordering, and I will be there day one, and I will report back.
Everything that's wrong with this industry.
Let me comment here. First of all, I didn't even get to the Hoth battle or whatever because they recommend you play like a certain amount, right?
Just so you know, they keep recommending that even when you reach max rank. Real recommendation.
Damn it, that's why I didn't.
I started with the Hoth stuff because I wasn't having as I couldn't get into the servers. Okay,
because I was gonna say,
is that on Xbox?
Yeah, I couldn't get into the first match. Or I'm sorry, the pod defense.
That's interesting. I had no stability issues. I didn't DC. There was no lag.
Oh, I had a ton.
I didn't have any problem finding matches quickly. In fact, I got in the matches so fast I was like, has this lobby just been waiting for me again and again? Because it's like seconds to get into a match on PC. So I will give it that. But go on.
Okay, because I had those issues with the first mode. But that didn't happen after the first 2 days. I mean, that's still relatively concerning, but it is a beta. I don't know if you know, some of the stuff can be worked out, like you said about the spawn points or whatever. But going to a point you made in another podcast, I feel like it should have a campaign mode because that would actually. Here's my thing is I'm going to be playing Destiny. I also want to play other games like the Witcher and stuff like that that are going to be longer games. And as you know, I'm a slow poke with this stuff. So, like, I only have so much time to invest in. I don't know if I really want to invest a lot of time in Battlefront. Plus, they're saying the post-launch content is going to be like $50. So, you're investing a lot of money, a lot of time into this game. And if it does have those issues, like with control, if it does have issues with spawn points, if 19 out of 20 games are won by one side, I mean... That's the problem for me as someone who is a Star Wars fan and was really highly anticipating this game. So I'm maybe not coming as strong as you, but I'm someone who went into this thinking this is a game I'm going to buy, and I came out with more questions than answers.
Well, and one thing I'd like to clarify, I agree with you completely, and I just want to clarify one more thing for Max, too. Did you play Battlefront 2, like the old Battlefront?
Yeah, I had them both. I played them all the time.
So then, when you say you don't like classes, do you really mean that? Because do you remember what the classes were in the old one? Like, you could be, like, a droidica, the rolling droids. You could
right,
be a protocol.
Right, I'm all fine with
just, like,
picking different...
a loadout change.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm fine with having different characters that...
But you're not disappointed that they ripped all that out? You don't miss being able to play it, like, a completely different... You're not even a humanoid anymore and stuff like that?
I guess my desire for a Battlefront of any sort outweighs that. I was initially disappointed... But I got over it because they were straight up front about
people
everything.
People like you are why DayZ succeeded.
I never played DayZ.
Desperation genre games that never actually reached full
potential. I just want to play some Star Wars.
You literally just said, I don't care about the problems in it because I just want to play Star Wars.
No,
that's desperate.
But I think maybe to your point a little bit.
If you had a girlfriend and you were like, I can't stand her, but I really don't like being alone, I'd be like, you're desperate.
No, I mean, I think the thing here is that, like, the best review I saw was from some guy who's, like, a 40-year-old guy who's a Star Wars fan. And, again, this was on The Verge. And he was like, yeah, it's the best, like, dad, I don't know how to put it, like, Star Wars dad game. And I think that's maybe who they're catering it to. Someone who has, like, doesn't want anything too complicated, wants a Star Wars game, wants something that you can pick up and play. I mean, it wasn't hard to figure out.
Well, of course it wasn't. That's because it's... literally Call of Duty. It's more Call of Duty than it is Battlefield.
That's the impression.
That was my biggest beef with it. I was looking forward to, I can't stand the Call of Duty, like the Modern Warfare style of like multiplayer progression and stuff like that. And while it's not exactly the same in Star Wars, it is similar, where while you can choose the order that you unlock some upgrades, there are tiered, like, you at rank one, these upgrades are available, and you can choose from them, but you can't choose the upgrade that you don't get till, you know, rank two. And that, on top of the fact that they use this weird card system that I like and dislike. I'm actually curious what you guys think about this. So the way it works, like for grenades now, for example, is that there's a 9-second cooldown in between throwing grenades, and you have infinite. But it's equipped as part of your loadout. You either have grenades or you don't. Similarly, the sniper rifle in this game is what you can use it once every, I think it's like 11 seconds or something. But you get one shot with it, and then you switch back to your primary weapon. And so there aren't really like pure snipers from what we've seen so far. It's like everyone is a sniper. Everyone's an everyman,
right?
Kind of.
Now, we have only seen a few weapons. That might just be a high-powered little perk that, you know, on cooldown that you get to use every now and then.
But there was obviously a butt.
No, I started with the butt. I said we haven't seen everything yet.
Okay, so let's just give companies that have historically completely ruined gaming the benefit of the doubt, because they've
had
such
DICE.
Amazing and
I'm with DICE. I stand with DICE. Hashtag I stand with DICE.
You are literally everything wrong with this.
Hashtag
industry.
Pre-order.
I stand. Wow. Hashtag Max is a sellout.
For this game, I will.
Yeah, yeah. The guy who's like, yeah, Battlefield 4 and freaking Hardline. Those were both complete debacles.
Oh yeah, but I
and you're
I,
like, yeah, I trust that they're gonna release.
I pre-ordered
their next 4
and I was playing it through all that crap,
oh,
and I loved it. I didn't touch Hardline though.
This is why we get terrible releases, you guys.
But I skipped Hardline, so they learned.
And then you pre-ordered. Their
I
next
taught them
title.
A lesson.
Yeah,
oh no.
Yeah. All right, let's move on before I have an aneurysm. Oh God. So. I got another mobile game. Sorry, most of what I played this week was mobile. This is one that I strongly recommend. It's free. It's by Armor Games, the Flash site, and it is called Soda Dungeon. It's really fun, actually. What it is kind of a turn-based RPG, like Japanese RPG-style game, but it also melds in kind of infinite clicker elements. So... you buy different sodas in the tavern, and then you pick from the adventurers that drink certain sodas and require a certain like reputation for the tavern. And then you basically pick all their loadouts, and then it's, 5-on-1-to-4 combat. And you go as far as you can through a resetting dungeon with permanent buffs that will last outside of the dungeon, item unlocks that you can choose from as you progress. It's a lot of fun. I highly recommend it. It's probably the best mobile game that I've gotten to play, in a fair amount of time. I actually have dedicated probably 5 or 6 hours to it in the last week. So yeah, it's fun. It's free. Check it out. Max, what else have you been playing this week?
Hearthstone.
I remember when I kicked your butt.
Oh, you mean when we played five games
and I kicked your butt
and
I kicked your butt?
RNG bull. That was nonsense.
That was not bull. As soon as I put,
oh my god, you played,
as soon as I put Confessor down on the board, I'm covered.
Confessor Paltrus.
Oh, she's...
Then you pulled the only legendary in the game that I can't deal with. The Nerubian, what's his name? It's Anubarak, who. When
what
he
a
dies,
fantastic.
He's an 8-8. When he dies, you return him to your hand and put a 4-4 Nerubian guy in play. And
what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that?
And then you could just play him again. It was ridiculous.
I don't understand what's
so
wrong with that.
So broken. What a ridiculous... I'm so mad. And you're tooting your horn like I didn't win the previous four games.
Well, I was nervous because I was playing great Henry Bell.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Some exciting news, Henry. Did you hear that Warsong Commander is getting nerfed, praise be, per polygon? Warsong Commander is the reason that the Grim Patron decks are so dangerous. What Warsong does is it makes any
charge.
Minion under three or lower charge. And it will now read that any minions with charge, I believe, get plus one or something like that.
Oh, that makes that card way worse.
No, yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't why wouldn't they nerf Patron? Who cares about Patron?
Yeah, I heard all the hubbub and Blizzard coming out and making their statement, I thought, yeah, oh, they're going to like make Patron either weaker and still multiply or get rid of the multiplier or maybe limit it or
something
like that. But yeah, no, what they ended up doing is the card that allows him to be super effective, Warsong Commander is getting nerfed, which I don't... ever even
I use Warsong
see
Commander,
I okay I don't yeah
me. He's
so now,
really good in
it literally,
like, zoo decks and stuff like
it
that.
It literally reads your charge minions have plus one attack. What I usually use with Grim Patron was the mechanic robot that gives randomly divine shield charge or taunt
tinkers something
attack yeah a tinkerbot tinker. Or something yeah,
yeah something.
But don't worry about it, Tom, but anyways, yeah, so that was some interesting news that the community is currently reacting to.
Exciting. Yeah, that's something.
Well, I was going to say, I'm so far behind where you guys are with this, but I did finally get through all 9 characters, and playing with your own deck is like 10 times better.
Yeah, it is. I can't believe. So we found out like 2 weeks almost of Tom playing Hearthstone that he's been playing with the pre-made decks.
Yep.
I don't think I played a single multiplayer game with the pre-made decks.
To be fair, I actually like that I have. I mean, what was it? You got 5 different ones. You get one per every 2 levels. 5 different new cards or class cards or whatever. I do like that you can make the adjustment, and that's what I enjoy about it, is that I'll play 2 games, make an adjustment, be like, okay, I don't need this. I don't need this one mana guy. I can go get a like a portal summoner or whatever. And I like having a lot of cards that I can deal with rather than just the 2 or whatever you got when you leveled up once. Or
yeah, I mean, you get that really anyways, though, in multiplayer, because you do get packs as you're playing. So, like, you are tweaking your deck pretty regularly.
Yeah.
But I hear what you're saying. It's a good way to ease people into it. And I like that they do have the option of the pre-made decks, just so that people who are a little intimidated by, like, building a whole deck on their own right off the bat don't have to feel like they have all that pressure on them. So I'm really glad, though, to hear that you have some customs. We'll have to actually... Because, see, here I am thinking, what is going on with Tom? I won, like, 14 games in a row.
It was a lot.
And now I'm realizing, well, I won 14 games in a row with my built decks against the pre-made decks.
To be fair, I have no legendaries, and there's some, like... I mean, the one
now,
that
to
got...
be fair, I don't have any legendaries either. I disenchant all my legendaries.
Really?
Yeah, because I can get like 4 rares.
But you could get Confessor Paltrus.
Yeah, I don't need RNG bullshit to win my game.
I do.
I'm saying, yeah, you do.
I'm going to rename that the Henry Bell Killer deck.
It's nonsense. Literally, listen, there are what, like 45 legendaries at this point? You got the only legendary that I could not counter in the game. That is the... Oh. RNGesus, how could you?
The one thing I don't like is all my... you know, cash rewards or whatever are based on Priest or Warlock, and I kind of like the Priest.
You know that every day you can just click the X on your daily quest and it'll give you another random one.
Oh, I probably should do that. But I'm going through. I'm trying
to
progress.
Sure, sure. Yeah. I do the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, and I want to learn the Warlock because I do like having a lot of cards in hand.
He's probably
that.
One of the biggest, like, new user-friendly classes, specifically because of his hero ability.
Yeah, other than that, like, I've definitely lost count and just killed myself.
How do you lose count? You don't have to count. You just have to look at the number. How do you lose count?
Let Tom pretend.
Oh, please don't shush into the mic. Oh, okay. All right.
Do we still have listeners?
Before I start yelling again. Yeah, exactly. Tom, so what else have you been playing this week?
I went back to Diablo, and...
I played that as well quite a bit.
Yeah. Now, I guess there's an expansion coming out, or there's rumor?
I actually didn't catch that. I know just released a major patch, though.
Yeah.
Which is excellent. I strongly recommend. I talked about it for a little while last week already.
Yeah, and I need to... I'm playing with a friend who doesn't play as much, so he isn't that far, but I should just play it.
Are you, like, Matt trying to match him? That is the worst thing. I hate trying to play multiplayer games with people with different schedules than me.
No, and it's not as much that, because I'm just playing... I've already beaten the game, so I'm more just playing...
Oh, you're power leveling him, kind of?
Yeah, and the one thing I like about that is I believe it does adjust to each player. So I'm, like, I'm probably 70 with, you know... 30 or something of the blue level up or whatever. But
Paragon level.
Paragon level, thank you.
Oh, Lord.
it was on the tip of my tongue. And so it was not. But and now that sounds familiar. But it's nice that he's like level 27 and we can play on the same board. And I think it adjusts itself up. But
sure. I mean, honestly, at this point, like, this is a little shameful, but in a week and a half, I've leveled two of the season 4 characters from 1 to 70. I now have a 70 witch doctor and a 70 monk from the last week. So honestly, you don't even really need power leveling anymore. It's ridiculous how fast you can level.
Can you go up? Because
I got from 1 to 70 on my witch doctor in about 3 days and on my monk in a day and a half.
How many playtime hours would you say that was?
Probably like 6 or 7.
Okay.
Sorry. 6 or 7 per day that I'm listing. So,
okay.
Yeah. I mean, so like about 18 hours to totally max a character, which is pretty low compared to the original.
Sure. Yeah.
Although, give or take, I do tend to, like, to be fair, when I play games, I'm watching something on my second monitor. I'm going out for smoke breaks. Like,
sure.
I'm not just, like, sit, and I often will, like, go get food and leave the game running. So, I mean, that's a really rough estimate. I'd say probably closer to, like, 12 hours.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's the one thing I don't like, is when I'm playing with him, I almost want to play with my highest level character because I want to get the Paragon points. So I'd probably level up with the other guy individually, which
sure.
is kind of
well.
Kind,
the nice thing is, though, that once you have multiple max levels, you know the Paragon level is shared.
Yeah, and that I do like.
Yeah,
even
my level ones that I was leveling, and this may have a slight effect on how fast I was leveling them. The first one had Paragon level, I think, like only 15, but now my other one has like Paragon level 70 from level one, and it had movement speed bonuses, resist all bonuses. Plus, I was dumping. It was so funny. I realized, like, at level, like, 21, I was like, oh, I got my first socketed item. And I was like, oh, I got my first socketed item, and I have access to a level 70 stash.
Oh.
And I put an item in that dropped my DPS from, like, 2,000 to, like, 16,000.
Yeah, and
just a gem.
And that's kind of what I want to do. I want to level up with the main character I got to 70 with first, then make it easier to level up with. Even though I did the Crusader, and I didn't think the Crusader was that exciting. The Witch Doctor seems cool, and I like the Wizard.
I really like the Crusader, but it really depends on your tastes. I get that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was used to playing with the Wizard, so I'm used to standing back and zapping things.
That's actually how I play my Crusader. I do. I have a spinning hammer build where you do the hammer that goes out from you in spirals, and you just spam that really hard, and you, like, anything within like 50 yards of you just gets killed before
you
can get anywhere near you.
Yeah.
It depends on the build, definitely, with that game, though.
And my friend plays as a Witch Doctor, and I think that's actually the coolest.
Oh, my God. My Witch Doctor is so overpowered. At first, I hated the Witch Doctor. The only reason I leveled him was because he was one of the only classes that I hadn't even started. And, I had him at, like, level 5. And, oh, my God, the damage over time is so unreal. It's hilarious.
So, real quick here, this is from IGN. A job listing, I guess, at Blizzard hints at another expansion.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that's great. I know, I was just wondering about that when they released patch 2.3, because honestly, I had thought that usually Diablo only has one expansion, so I had thought that Reaper of Souls was it. Like, I wasn't even expecting this patch, and so
they've put a lot of time and content into the game. It's cool to see.
It's still
fun. Especially with another expansion, it's cool to see a game like that supported. It just makes me think of Borderlands 2 and how much support that got.
Yeah, definitely. And this is cooler even than that, because all of this patch stuff we've been talking about is free, unlike Borderlands, which all is DLC.
I would say that.
Quality DLC, though.
Rockstar and Blizzard do that best. I mean, that's why I kept on playing Grand Theft Auto Online. That's why I keep on playing Diablo 3. And especially now that I'm nervous with Destiny, I talked about how much I liked it and how much is the game I wanted it to be. I'm kind of worried I'll get through all the story content and stuff, and it'll take forever to get to 280 or 310 or whatever.
God, I hope so. I'm so tired of being the only one who doesn't like that game.
And I'll probably still enjoy it, but I probably will not play it as much. You know what I mean? Just because it's like... I don't want to have to deal with my
cousin. You know what's going to happen? Fallout 4 is going to come out, blow your mind, and you're never going to leave your base.
So this is a legitimate question. So if I'm buying two games, this is legit as
it gets. No, it's fine. Just ask.
Battlefront and Battlefront. Get two copies so when Henry snaps, one of them.
Okay, so I think it's worth spending. It's going to be like $90 for Fallout 4, right, with the expansion?
Yeah, so get Fallout 4 and Low five.
Nah.
Oh, what?
No.
You don't play Halo?
No, Destiny, dude.
Why would you get Halo 5 with all of the releases we have coming out this holiday?
Did you not? Because it's only a 12-hour game, and then the multiplayer. Did you?
Did you just?
Whoa!
Did you just tout it only having a 12-hour campaign?
Yeah, that's long for Halo.
You literally used the word only.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying like it's a short game that I can actually play through while I'm waiting for
this. Actually, gets
Fallout
my question,
4.
But thank you.
Yeah,
I do like Halo games,
but no, the early review hands-on assessments of it, it's
a Halo game.
Well, yes, but it's
see, I like 3, 4 was junk though.
Actually,
people are saying I'm going to quote a Forbes article. I know how you feel about Forbes. I'm not going to quote it directly, but I'm paraphrasing. He says that in the first three missions, he had so many cool, awe-inspiring moments, more so than in all of 4 combined, and that 343 is basically kind of finding themselves in this game, and it's a throwback to the original Halo game and the open environments and sandbox gunplay and stuff. And
God, I miss getting lost.
I'm just excited.
Halo.
I'm excited.
Don't you love driving around in circles on the Warthog trying to find the tunnels?
That was my favorite thing
it's
about the game,
best.
Henry. It's like
just
we were meant to be.
Just driving circles. Yeah.
All right, what was your legitimate question?
So this is my question. For the second game, I'm wondering if I want to go into, like, get Witcher 3, for example, or if I want to get, like, someone like Tomb Raider, which I know is going to be shorter, but I can get through.
I'd probably pass on Tomb Raider until it's on sale.
I'm trying to think of what else is out there. Obviously not Battlefront. I may get Battlefront, but
I mean, honestly, I don't like Battlefront. You play Call of Duty, so I don't see no reason.
No. I haven't played Call of Duty since. Like,
no, I'm the Call of Duty.
Yeah. Is it you? Okay.
Hence why.
I'm sorry. I was thinking of your buddy who we had on that one.
Yeah.
Kyle.
But yes,
Kyle.
Sorry
for that.
You are an FPS guy, so I mean, I feel like it might be better off for you. I'm the picky, overly. I'm the typical nerd who gets all mad and picks it apart. Like
you're
I know,
a video game hipster.
Well, I'm like a critic or something. But that's the thing unless you just really want to play a Star Wars game.
Yeah,
there are better Star Wars games.
No, what I really want, I'm not. Not kidding, would be like Jedi Outcast. Like, that was probably my favorite Star Wars.
It could not be anywhere further from that.
Yeah, so. And that's the issue I have. Like, I like that in Jedi Academy and stuff.
Are we talking about the only two games you'll be getting at the end of this year?
End of this year.
So then I would say your other one should probably... Isn't Just Cause 3 this year?
He's never played and he doesn't understand what he's missing out on.
No, you listen to me.
I played a little bit of 2.
It doesn't matter. The second one needs to be Just Cause 3. Just trust me. You won't regret
no.
it.
No. Over Witcher?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, because you will never, ever
Witcher
finish
time.
Witcher.
I will finish Witcher.
Tom, you're waiting.
Finish Witcher.
You are so far out of your league right now with Witcher.
All right, I'm reining this in.
And Metal Gear.
Enough. All right, we got it. Tom, you just don't have the dedication to finish that game. Just trust me, okay? I can't finish that game. Most people I know can't finish that game. And you still haven't even finished
Tom,
the games,
go buy it right
the
now.
Prequels.
Run out the door and buy
the
it.
The previous versions of games that are coming out in a month. And you've had years.
Nah, I'm almost done with Dragon Age.
Oh, Lord. And that's not even the oldest game you're currently playing. I mean, you didn't even finish New Vegas.
No, that's because of that stupid DLC.
Should have listened to me.
I should have listened.
All right. Let's keep things moving here. We're almost at the end.
Yeah.
I thought we were at the end.
No, I still have several games.
Henry,
left
why do you
list.
Play so many video games?
It's like I do a podcast about them or something. So, another mobile game. I'll make this quick. Quick Boy. I know.
I see what you did there.
Quick Boy is a side-scrolling platformer. It's a lot of fun. It's kind of like an Infinite Runner, but with way more mechanics. You're in the post-apocalypse, and you're like a delivery boy, kind of. You're like a runner, sort of, from like the Rising, Dying Light series. You're kind of like that character, but it's in a 2D side-scrolling kind of anime-ish platformer, and it's great, and I recommend it, and it's free, so why not? Also, I've been playing Infectinator Hot Chase, which is another side-scrolling runner game. If you played any of the Infectinator games, they were old browser games that you basically are upgrading the zombie plague, and you can get different characteristics on the plague, and you basically get one click, and it sends out little disease vector pixels in every direction, and the humans it touches, it then turns them into zombies, and they kill each other. Well, this is a spin-off of that series, which is an infinite runner where you play as a zombie and you like pick up speed by eating humans and that kind of stuff. There's a lot of upgrades. I like those kinds of games. It's much better than what you would think of from a typical 3D infinite runner. And if you like the Infectinator series, I don't see any reason not to try it, at least.
Did you not play Minecraft Story Mode, Henry? I thought that would be on the top of your list.
Actually, I'm curious about it. I really am.
It's,
like, to be perfectly sincere, it's
surprisingly well received.
Yeah, and it's got like an all-star cast of voice actors. Isn't Patton Oswalt the lead in that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
like, I definitely want to check it out. I'm very skeptical because I like Minecraft actually a lot. I play it regularly with mods, and I don't really see the value of adding a story, but everyone is telling me that it's actually surprisingly quite good, and so I'm definitely going to check it out. I'll report back on that next week, but as much as you'd expect me to slap that one down, I'm going to give it more benefit of the doubt than a DICE release.
Real quick question.
Oh,
amendment to my other question. Metal Gear Solid, you say off the table, right? You're saying it's
100%. No questions.
I think for you, yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. Okay.
Because wouldn't you rather...
And I'm so always, tempted by The Witcher,
though. No, but here's
like
the thing,
to,
Tom. You can always go back, wait for the Game of the Year edition when you're going to get both huge expansions,
well,
and then
and,
you can just sink your life into it. But... And, wouldn't you rather be upfront and current and talking with us about Fallout 4?
That's true.
That's
like, no. I'm 100% getting Fallout 4. I'm saying in addition to that.
Tom. Okay.
That's the other thing, too, is remember, right now we're in a point where we haven't had a major game release for over a month, and it's going to happen again at the beginning of the year. So, like, I mean, once February passes, it's going to be a dead zone till the summer releases, and then there'll be another dead zone till the holiday season again. So you are going to have time to play that game, but that's the kind of game you don't want to be playing while there's new releases coming out every week.
Yeah.
Just trust me.
Like, yeah.
It is a great game, but especially with the pace that you play games at, there's no way you can get through it.
And you think Laura, like the Tomb Raider, is just too short to justify 60 hours?
I just don't think that those games are super great, but that's just my opinion. You may like that kind of thing. I know you're a fan. You were a fan of the first remake.
Yeah.
I was wildly unimpressed.
And you said you're not a racing fan, right? Because I think Need for Speed is coming out too.
No, I'm not, but I've heard good things about it.
So. Yeah, because I'm tempted by that too. But I don't know. I'll keep people updated because I'm sure it's riveting.
Cool. Really quick, I got one more game that I played. This is the early access debacle that I had. So I've been reading all the patch notes and watching YouTube videos for months now about ARK, Survival Evolved, that new... it's like a sci-fi
dinosaur
historical weird thing. Yeah, you're like on an island full of dinosaurs, but you there's like weird sci-fi technology there as well. And it's, you know, a typical survival, you know, survival game like we've seen from things like DayZ, but thank God no zombies in this one. And the long and short of it is, I, like I've mentioned, have not the best computer in the world, and I run SLI'd cards. Well, the SLI support's not really there, and so I made a very rookie mistake, didn't look in to see if there was a good SLI profile for the game or look at the reviews to see what people were saying about SLI. It runs like garbage. It runs at like 5 frames on my computer on minimum settings, which is unbelievable because I can run The Witcher on high. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But, so yeah, ARK... as great as it may be kind of starting to look out. I mean, I saw a dude flying on a pterodactyl the other day. It's very cool. There's some really neat stuff to it. It has really cool like building mechanics and stuff, but it's just not done. There's just not a lot of polish on it. Unless you have a fairly powerful system, I'd stay away from that one for now, at least till it gets a little bit more optimized. That pretty much does it. Did you guys play anything else this week? Does that pretty much do it?
Fired is the word I was gunning for.
You got fired?
Fired up Battlefront 4.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised I
haven't
been.
Battlefront 4,
but,
you must know something I
or
don't.
Battlefield 4. I have exclusive...
So this is why you're pre-ordering. You already know their next release.
Pre-order away. I actually invested in the company.
Yeah.
So Battlefield 4... to just kind of, you know, after I was playing Star Wars, I was like, oh, I kind of want to, you know, see how it compares. And totally different game, starting to look a little dated, particularly on the Xbox One.
And boy, are there a lot of empty servers and game rooms and
that's the problem with
like
having
that.
Dedicated servers yep. like that. I mean, if they had the custom servers like they used to in FPSs, that kind of thing wouldn't be nearly as much of an issue. But this is also the problem with stuff like Hardline, where it's not even a full game,
oh, right.
and it steals the community.
Right.
Like, ugh, community divisions. So what do you really? You played Battlefield 4. Noticed issues with it, and you still are going to pre-order their next game.
Battlefront.
Oh, you break my heart. Well, is there anything else you wanted to mention about 4?
No, it's not what I was hoping for.
I wonder if you'll have a similar feeling sometime soon.
This is going to be so good.
This is going to go so on good. And on and on. This is our new feud. Sorry,
this
guys.
This is so good.
All right, that wraps up what we've been playing this week, but I do want to give one last shout-out before we go. I found a very, very cool YouTube channel this week, and they're actually really well-established, so a lot of you guys may have heard of them, but I just found them, and I've really been enjoying their content. The channel is called Awe Me, and they do it's a blacksmithing show. It's these smiths in, I want to say it's Baltimore, it's like a family of smiths who make armor and weapons and stuff for like Broadway and movies and Renaissance festivals around the country. And their big thing now is they have fans submit requests for them to make weapons and armor. Tom, stop touching your mic.
Sorry.
They make requests for people to do custom weapons and armor. And one of the things, like, they've done stuff like the Soul Reaver from the Legacy of Kain series, the Hylian Shield from Zelda. They've done the Daedric War Axe from Skyrim. And they are incredible replicas. They're really, really, really cool. I highly recommend the show. The channel, again, is Awe Me, Awe space M-E. And I just think they're really cool and wanted to give them a shout-out. I would recommend checking them out. That pretty much does it for what we've played, recommendations, sales. We're kind of done for the day, so you know, this has been procedurally generated. If you enjoyed the show, please be sure to check us out on Audio Boom and iTunes and leave us a rating or a review. If you have any questions or comments about the show, you can feel free to reach out to us at @PG_show on Twitter and just kind of let us know what you think or tell us we're terrible. I don't really care. Just comment. Thanks, and as always, game on.